Once I wandered in sin, so far from my home. Wayward and burdened, I walked all alone. Then at a meeting, I heard Jesus say, "Come to the altar, and I'll save you today. The rock of my soul, my sword and my shield. The rock of my soul, praise God, He is real. There's one thing for sure, and this one thing I know. Forever He'll be the rock of my soul." I struggled that night, no peace could I find. Searching in vain to untangle my mind, the Spirit of God descended on me, breaking my chain and setting me free. The rock of my soul, my sword and my shield. The rock of my soul, praise God, He is real. There's one thing for sure, this one thing I know. Forever He'll be the rock of my soul. Sometimes in my life, the devil tempts me, and he tells me that I was never set free. Oh, but I know for sure, 'cause I remember that night. I was saved by God's grace, and I'm kept by His power. The rock of my soul, my sword and my shield. The rock of my soul, praise God, He is real. There's one thing for sure, this one thing I know. Forever He'll be the rock of my soul.
He does so much better job than I do. Amen. Some of y'all are very sweet. Y'all refuse to say amen to that, and I want to say thank you. At this time, we'll dismiss our children's church as their way out. Y'all give them a round of applause. Tell them thank you for coming. And I also want to say I'm very excited to speak today. We have three extra church missions that are here today. I'm just thrilled to be a part of. We have HIA, the guys that are here. Y'all give them a round of applause. Tell them thank you for being here. We have the Coastal Pregnancy Center. And so y'all give them a round of applause for being here as well. And lastly, our guest of honor, Martha's Mission, we are very excited about raising support for y'all this week, or this month rather, to help fill your pantries and to do what we can. Yes, ma'am, Miss Beverly.
Anyone who doesn't have time or doesn't want to shop, if they would like to give money by check to the church and able to the church, then we will have one of our people
Absolutely. We want to pack those shelves as much as possible. And I tell you, there's nothing, when you're in need, most people I know, they don't ask for help. That's just, when you get to the point when you ask for help, they're past the point for help. It is, they need help in a great big way. And so by the time that as people that I know who have come down to Martha's Mission who need it, that's time when we need to show up and show out. We need to do the best we can to help people who need it, ask for help, and to be a blessing to them. So y'all please, donate as you can. Today, the start of a new year, new time. I was thinking about this series for probably 6 months now, and then January comes, and we get the flu, we get swine flu, we get other things that are going on. And listen, I've never been so discouraged, but I'm glad you showed up today, because I've been ready to scream at y'all for about 6 months now, and today is the day where it starts. So contending for the faith is where we're going to be at, contending for the faith. I don't know why Jude is next month. I don't know why it's up there. But either way, that'll be one that I continue to preach, or next week rather. That'll be one I preach next week. Today we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Just three verses, if you would. Please stand with me as we give reverence to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we take this scripture, and as common as it is, as if we heard it before, we've seen the pictures, we've seen VBS, we've seen the armor of God pictured in many ways. But Lord, may we not forget that that armor represents a battle in which we all fight. I pray as a pastor I would inspire our people to take their swords, their shields, and to fight the battles that they're fighting even now with a renewed vigor and a readiness and understanding that we have victory in you. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Two verses that I really want to stand out here is the first and the last one. The first one saying, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Three different words that are used here are used to emphasize this power. We see this strength, power, might. And the one thing that I like about this is that none of these originate from us. Now, I'm guilty of this. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I said it last week. I said there's sometimes where I could just look at somebody and wish I could shake them by the ears and say, "Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do this." This is one of those things that I fall short of, because as Christian people, our strength does not come from a grit, from a mindset of inner strength. It doesn't come from ourselves. Amen. This power that I'm asking you to hold on to is not your own. It is the power of God. No Christian who has ever walked on the face of this planet was able to live the Christian life in their own power. So let's just make one thing clear before we go forward. We are weak. Can I get an amen for that one? I know we weren't like goaded to say that I'm a weak person. No, but we are. You think about it. We may think of ourselves as strong in different aspects of our lives, but the bottom line is, every time we have failed, who was the cause of that failure? We were. I can't blame that on anybody else. I can't blame that on my circumstances. I can't blame that on God. I can't blame that on anybody else. If I failed, if I sinned, that is my fault. We take ownership of our frailty. We take ownership of our weakness. We take ownership that we are in desperate need of God's power. All three of these are attributed to Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. all things are coming from Him. And these are three different kinds of powers. This is three different kinds of mind. As a matter of fact, the first one, this steadfastness, is the ability to endure. You cannot endure temptation without God. Second one, he talks about in the power. This is literally to fight off evils. We cannot beat this world without God. And the last one, in his mind, is the idea of being able to stand firm and continue the fight. To stay in the ring and box it out over many, many, many rounds. To endure and to fight these things causes this kind of might. Listen, that only comes from God. And then the last verse is one I want to emphasize on. Verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto thee the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And this is where I believe a lot of people, we see the armor, some of us, we've even memorized it. Helm of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, boots of gospel, belt of truth. We have it in our mind, we've memorized it, we know it. But then we forget that we have to use it. Having done all to stand. So that means you can have God's righteousness, you can have God's salvation, you can have truth in your life, and you can have faith. The greatest faith that all mankind could have, the faith in Jesus Christ. But the bottom line is, if all that stays wrapped up in a closet and you don't put it on and you don't go to war, the problem is we're still vulnerable. To me, if you're asking me what makes the difference between some of these inspirational Christians that I know, that I think of, that I love, we have David Buehler, we have all the missionaries that have been over time and time and time again, people who lay down their lives as martyrs for the faith. We have pastors who have endured for 40, 50, 60 years at the same location. We have families who it is their patriarch or their matriarchs who have led them in prayer and devotion throughout all of their lives. Listen, those kinds of people, they put it on every day. It's not when the days, everybody in here, how many, now let me just take a tally. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get about 100% of people with this one. But how many of you love vacation? Yeah. Where you can take it off. I don't have to fight today. I don't have to go to work today. I don't have to engage today. I can go to the beach, and most of, if you live here, you're like me, you don't want to go to the beach, you want to go to the mountains. Amen? Yeah. I want to get away, and I don't want anybody to be around me. And I can just disengage with life. As a Christian, we do not have that liberty. Our enemy does not take vacations. Amen. Our enemy doesn't stop trying to attack us. We have to be engaged every day. This is why Jesus tells us, this is not easy. Take up thy cross, follow me. This is a war. How many times did Christ talk about this is a war, this is a fight? But yet, I find that many Christians, especially non-church-going, non-Bible-reading, non-devotion, non-praying Christians, the very lackadaisical Christians, we have this mindset that I said a prayer, God does the work, I don't have to do anything, and they live a very anemic life. There is no strength in that. There is no power in that. I think part of why I wanted to start with this is that we have been taught either by osmosis, whether by false prophets, whether by some kind of misleading or earthly wisdom, that I no longer have to do anything in my walk. Now, don't hear me out. I mean, don't misconstrue my words, but I want you to hear this. I'm not talking about getting to heaven. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to do nothing. Can I get an amen for that one? Amen. He has fought the fight. He has won the war. You are washed in the blood, and there is nothing you have to do to enter into heaven. You have the claiming of that righteousness upon you, and that's it. But just like Samson, just like David, just like Peter, just like with every character in Scripture, they're not fighting. They're not living the Christian life so they can go to heaven. They want something better out of this life, right here, right now. I've never been in a gunfight ever in my life, and I don't want to be. One of Paul's favorite things, I love Brother Paul, and he comes in, I said, how you doing? He goes, well, I don't have any bullet holes, which is great. I'm glad. No bullet holes. I'd hate to have a deacon that had bullet holes come through here every Sunday. Now, I've never been in one of those, but the closest thing that I can is I have been in probably more fist fights than I'd care to tell you. I've been in those fights where somebody crossed the line or somebody threw a punch at me or something of that nature, and there's nothing worse than in the middle of that firefight than having or wanting to just curl up and do nothing. You've already lost. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been in that kind of a situation. Maybe I think in my head it's more common because I grew up lost and I was in a lot of fights. But to curl up in a fetal position, covering everything, no doubt the first thing that happens is a foot comes down on you. You are vulnerable, you're not a threat, and you end up getting everything beat out of you. Listen, if you think that humanity is less sadistic than Satan, then you've got another thing coming. Spiritually, if you curl up and don't engage in this service, if you don't engage in your own life, if you just curl up, take a vacation in your spiritual life, what do you think Satan's going to do? He's going to drop a foot on you. He's going to knock the wind out of you. He's going to win the fight. He can't win the war, but he will do what he can to make your life miserable right here, right now. So, how we start off this? How do we start off this series, this service, this year? I thought this was interesting. It's a picture that I wanted to show. I just downloaded it off the internet because it was a news article at one point. And it was some interesting fact that a teacher was going around and he was teaching kids how to prepare a Roman shield. I always thought this was funny. I was like, what kid is ever going to use that? The more I researched it, and the more I put it to this text, the more I realized how genius this man is. How many of you ever remember, or you look at a Roman soldier's, the armor of faith? How many of you remember that? Paul used Rome as a constant illustration for anything that he was doing. When he's talking about the armor of God at this point, he's mentioning what these people are doing. That shield, and it would have a slight curve to it, it would always be about 4 or 5 feet high to where if you kneeled down, it would cover you, just on the front here. Now, they've got their legs showing. They're probably going to lose those if this was a real battle. But you get the premise. They would lock shields, and that whole formation was to make sure that nothing came through. Now, if you had an individual who did this, they would be very vulnerable. But as a group, it was impenetrable. This was something that I found very interesting in this text. If you'll go back and read it with me. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and be in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't see it here. In English, it's translated differently. There are some nuances here. And Southern people, we got the worst. Because we say, y'all. The word ye is y'all. It's plural. So let me say it like a good Southern person would read it. That y'all may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For who? We, plural. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and worlds, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto y'all the whole armor of God. There is not a single description that is in this text that's singular. It's all plural. His idea, Paul was an eloquent orator of the text. And we, in English, we see this, we read it, and we're like, okay, he's talking to me as an individual. I have to put on the armor of God. No. He's saying, you got to put on the Roman armor.
and you are vulnerable by yourself, but your brothers, your sisters, your church, your family, with that group, you can endure the hardest things that come your way. Oh, anybody else got goose pimples? I do. That was good to me. There's this idea that Paul, when he's speaking, has given this idea to the Greek readers. Hey, this is necessary. You are better together. There is no long... And listen, I will be the first to admit this, that I have failed in this. This lone wolf Christianity doesn't work. Though none will follow, or though no one go with me, still I will follow. This whole mindset that we sing about, though the whole world is against me, still I will follow. That doesn't work. You think that you can do devotions by yourself? That'll lead to a false god. Let that sink in. You think you can just pray for yourself, and pray for only you? Listen, that's pride. You think you can have church all by yourself and not have to sing hymns and not have to submit to somebody else and not have to join hands with anybody else, not have to say prayers with anybody else? You think that Christianity can be done by yourself? You are wrong. Nowhere in Scripture, not one place, did one person stand alone and was able to change the world. Not once. But yet, we read this, and this is what we think. Oh, this is for me. Oh, I got to be the one that's strong. No, your strength comes from others. Your source, your power, your enthusiasm, your encouragement, all that comes from God. But all that alone won't handle it. We'll talk more about this in my next message. I hope that you come back. But in the book of Jude, we got this idea that we cannot defeat the enemy by ourselves. Matter of fact, you can't defeat him at all. The devil's been alive and well ever since the day he got kicked out of heaven. He's been walking to and fro on the face of the earth, seeking whom he may devour. The devil and all of his demons and everything, they have been constantly attacking us from the day they fell. I think a lot of people, we get into this idea that I'll just find a good church, and a good church will give me the strength. Or I'll get a good devotional, and that devotional will give me the strength. Oh, I'll do this, or I'll do this, and I'll make sure that, hey, it's me. I want to be strong. I want to be righteous. I want to be the one. And the truth of the matter is, the devil always pick off the single people. You ever watched a lion hunt zebras? Do you know why zebras have stripes? Because they can hide in a herd. That's the only reason they have stripes. It is a security feature that God has implemented in their lives. So as long as they stay together and they can't figure out which one I've got to attack, they can't see the weak one as long as they're together. But to the one that has a broke leg that's away from the herd, what happens? Dinner. The lion attacks that one that has strayed away. And I don't care how many zebras there are, I don't care how hard they kick, they're never going to stop a lion attack. They may be able to stop one, but they won't be able to stop them forever. If there was something that I could say that would inspire you to know this, to rededicate ourselves in this coming year and to rededicate ourselves to this mindset, is that our victory doesn't come when Satan is smashed. It doesn't come when our devils or the demons that we fight are put to the side. It comes when we endure the fight together. When we put our shields of faith together and we recognize, hey, to by myself, I need help. My victory comes with enduring, not with fighting. Oh, listen, that's going to be the thrust of my next week's message. We're not called to fight. We're called to contend. To get in the ring and last to the very end, till the bell rings. That is when we're done. Because I don't know how many of y'all know this. This is a fun little snippet of my life. And I don't think I've ever preached this. My first summer from Bible college. I didn't have a church to go to. I didn't have anything. I didn't know what to do with my summer. And so I just started doing what I normally did. I went job hunting. But I was like, I'm going to do something I love. I mean, I've got the money set aside. I know that I'm going to do something that's going to help me live throughout. And so, for real, if I put out a survey, nobody would get this. I signed up to be a bull rider. You laugh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, boots. You can tell. Man, I was gung-ho. I have always, always wanted to be that guy. That guy. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Comes in with his spurs and his vest, and he's got his hat going in. And listen, last 8 seconds, get thrown off of that bull, you feel like a mile high. I mean, like I would be the greatest man on the face of the planet. Luckily, a church called, and I didn't have to do that. God saved me. I'm pretty sure I would not be here because I'd have thought I was all that, and then a bull would have got a hold of me. No, but you notice something about rodeos and bull riders? No one ever defeats the bull. And they never do it alone. It's an incredible thing once you recognize as a we get into this macho mindset, this independent. And listen, and I don't blame America for this. We really push an independent life. We want you to live. We want you to do it on your own. We give you every opportunity to succeed. We really push this independent mindset. But in the grand scheme of things, you're not called to win. You're called to endure. You're not called to defeat the devil. You're not called to defeat your demons. You're not called to be better. You're not called to be the person that you think you should be. You're called to endure the fight as it comes to you. Which leads me to this incredible fact. If you look up in these verses, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I've said it before, and I like this. It gives me the right gumption, puts the right fire underneath me. If I could go out and beat the devil with a stick, I would do it. Anybody with me? I feel like in the movies, I was like, "Who's with me?" And I think I could get 1,000 people behind me with a bunch of sticks, and we'll just go out and beat the demons with them. You ever heard the saying, I'll attack hell's gates with a water pistol? Wait, if it worked, I'd do it. But the hardest thing is not that. The hardest thing is enduring the principalities, enduring the powers, enduring the rulers of darkness. To the Ephesians, this meant something so much greater than just action. It meant really grounding our feet into and planting into the idea that there was something more than just fighting and rebelling. How many of y'all, you've known history, you've known the history of Rome. Rome is in charge, they're in charge of the entire world at this point when Jesus is here and all this is going down. The Ephesians in particular were this very defensive-minded people. They were very magical. They had amulets. They had gods of protection. They had all these things. They wanted to be safe and secure. Here, what Paul is saying, he says, you can't defend against this stuff. Matter of fact, what I find most interesting here, without causing any unrest, what Paul is saying, if you look here, the words that says against the rulers of darkness of this world, they're using the same Koine Greek word that they would describe the Emperor of Rome. The same word. The same word that says, hey, if the Emperor of Rome came here, how would you defeat him? You can't. There's no way. If the emperor said it, how many of y'all, you've seen the movies, you've read the books, you recognize who was the emperor in Rome? What did they claim him to be? A god. Brings a whole new light to the rulers of darkness of this world. Who are we to stand against our demons? We can't. Who are we to stand against our habits? We can't. Spiritual wickedness of high places, the little voice in your ear that says, hey, you don't have to pray today, you're busy. Who's going to guard you from that? It's hard to do it by yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you've been there, you understand. But how better is it when you're able to, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, come to a church that recognizes, hey, we're all in this battle, and we are stronger together. We are going to fight this together. We are going to beat this together. And you're told that week after week after week, and eventually we recognize that our strength is not in a resolution. It is not in saying, I'm going to be a better me. It's saying that I am dedicating my life to something far better, far stronger than what I could ever do by myself. Lastly, well, let me say this. We have to acknowledge our target. Our target is not people. Our target is not the world. Our target, who we're enduring about, who's attacking us. Some of y'all, you've already caught this, but it's you. It's yourselves. It's given in to that, oh, well, let me find this in my notes so I don't have to get past this. We battle concepts that debilitate the foundation of non-religious society, such as grief, sorrow, laxity, and unengaged personal growth, hard-heartedness or uncompassionate, pride. We battle things that are above people. There are concepts to the idea of saying, hey, no matter what you do, you'll never be good enough. That's something you need to fight. Oh, well, you're just one cog in this great mechanism of Christ's kingdom. You've got to fight that. God called you by name. By name. God knows He knows every hair on your head. He loves you. He has called you. He has brought you out from that world into this one, the religious world, the family of God, the kingdom of God, to fight the good fight and to endure from the very last day. And listen, He doesn't call pawns. He's not into losing people. He doesn't, and I've used this word my whole life, and it's the idea of cannon fodder. It's the idea of the little people. We can lose them. God doesn't have cannon fodder. Brother, can you say that again for everybody else who didn't? Thank you. God doesn't have cannon fodder. You are strength. You are His. Greater is He that is in you than is in the world. You can win. You were built to last. You were built to endure. You were built to do something much more than what you think your little scope of reality is. And I guarantee you, you'll find that with other people. You'll find that with reading Scripture. You'll find that with recognizing strength and community. It's what's going to get you through the darkest valleys. Know your target. We don't need to get into this idea that, hey, we're fighting the devil. You can't beat the devil. I'm fighting my demons. You can't beat your demons. The biggest thing that we're fighting is ourselves. I don't need to do this week. Yeah, you do. Oh, I know the Bible. I've read it 3 times. Read it another. Oh, I've prayed for them on thousands of occasions. Okay, keep praying. Pray for it in a different way. Pray for their families. Pray for this church. Pray for your friends. Pray for your neighbors. Pray. Listen, if we give up on the simple things, we are separating ourselves from the very basis of what God's asked us to do. Hold fast. Be strong. Be vigilant. Lastly, if you'll look at this last one with me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Simple, last little point. Many of y'all have been taught this by our parents. Do your best. I don't care what you do, but do your best. How many of you have been told that? I don't care what you do, but do your best. I might be misconstruing this, but my daddy told me it was like this. If you're, let's see, be good, and if you're not good, be good at it. Maybe that was because he thought I was going to end up in jail or something. But, oh, ride bulls. Do your best. And it's a philosophy I've carried my whole life. When I was a mechanic, I did the best I could. When I was an employer, I did the best for my employer. Why is it that we have a concept that I'm going to do my best for me, but when it comes to God, it is easily slipped away? What is your best for God? How much prayer is too much prayer? How much Bible reading is too much? In church attendance, how much church is too much church? And you see the concept? You see what we're doing already, where we automatically go, well, it's so much. How could I ever do that? That's the immediate reaction to people. Oh, well, there isn't a limit. So we give ourselves a sellout point. So it doesn't matter how much I do. It doesn't matter how much I pray. We give ourselves a sellout. No. You do your best. My first job as an aircraft mechanic, I worked with like four or five other pastors. It was the best spiritual boot camp I ever had. Every time I was on break, there was a preacher giving me a sermon. And I remember one particular one. I went to school with his son. Matter of fact, his son beat me up when I was in high school. They carry the same name. It was Ray. Ray came to me and he said, look, he says, you do your best. If your best is 30%, then God will give it the rest. If your best is 50, God will give the rest. If your best is 90, God will give the rest. But if you ever lack in giving your best, God will only give you what your best required. So if you hold back 10, you're going to be missing that 10 at the end of it. If you hold back 20, you're going to be missing that 20 at the end of it. You come to church and you're like, okay, God, I love you, but today's message, I'm not going to go to the altar, though. This is not for me. Okay. But don't expect God to move next time. God, I see what the Bible says, but I'll never fall like that. Okay. See, my Bible tells me, take heed lest ye fall. What can you learn from the failures that are written in Scripture that could better you? Instead of saying, oh, well, I would never do what David did. Oh, I would never do what Samson did. Oh, I would never do what these people did. And instead of giving yourself an easy way out, engage in the Word of God and engage in the community and engage with this relationship with God and do your best. So two things and I'll be done. One statement, one illustration. Statement is this: victory is not defeating your demons. It's enduring. Victory is endurance. Would y'all say that with me? Victory is endurance. Sticking with it. Now listen, sometimes enduring is hard. Sometimes it's easy. But enduring is the process. That's the point. Last illustration. This is probably one of the most key phrases of any game show that has ever existed. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. I remember when we were in high school, and we would all watch our game shows together, and we would say that phrase every time one of us failed. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. We would say that to my brother. We'd say that to my mom. We'd say that to the mailman as if he dropped the mail. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Could you ever imagine where we stand on that link? Listen, I'm just asking you. We're a group. Our strength is in the group. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
We're a church. Our strength is in the church. Our strength comes from God. Our anchor point, where that's, listen, a chain that's not anchored to anything doesn't have anything in it. It just wobbles back and forth. But if you anchor it down, it becomes taut in its strength. Our source is God. But every chain on there has a responsibility to carry its own self and to stay connected with everybody else. My only ask is don't neglect your spiritual disciplines, being with God and being with others this coming year. I understand that there is this macho mindset that I am going to do this. I am going to discipline myself. I am going to be the strength. I am going to lead my family. I am going to be a prayer warrior. I am going to do all these things. Don't do that. Say this: I am going to submit to God every time He speaks. One of the key moments in my life was when I was at Bible college, and I made that statement that I was not going to be the weakest link, and that every time I said, before the service started, I told God, I am no more bigger than to come to that altar right now. Whatever it is that the speaker is going to speak on, I want to be moved so badly to be moved to the altar that I give God something that day. Biggest decision of my life. It didn't give me a way out. It didn't give me a sellout point. I was going to make sure that when I came, I gave God a gift, regardless if that was money, a decision, or a prayer. I gave God something every single time He showed up. I'm only asking you to do that because the battle is coming. The hardships are coming. And you're not supposed to win them. You are called to endure them. Because victory is an endurance. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the musicians come and to play a song of invitation, I would ask you, today is the first Sunday you have a perfect attendance for the year. Regardless of where you go, regardless of how you live out your life, make this promise to God. I'm just going to give my best. There's going to be a Sunday where you're not able to come. I get it. I will give grace to anybody and everybody if you can't be here. But to just wash over, it's not acceptable. Do your best. Put your best foot forward. Even now, you have come, you have heard the Word of God, and you recognize that you need strength. You need community. You need God. And it's not something that you can just muster up on yourself. You need it to be given to you. And here's the greatest part. It's free. You don't have to do anything to have that strength, that power, that might. God gives it, and He gives it free because He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be safe. He wants you to live in victory. But the only way that's going to happen is if you take up the armor of God right here, right now, and you use it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is an honor to be with these people. I am safer now than I have ever been. For I know that this group prays for me, that this church comes alongside of me and strengthens me, that they have the power of God in their lives, and I have the power of God in mine. I have salvation full and free. Lord, whatever it come, let it be, because I know we can endure. But Lord, help us if we ever part ways. Help us if we ever find us away from the herd, away from the church, and have we squandered our responsibilities to take up our armor and to join hands. Lord, I pray, give us strength, give us courage to endure the fights. As the war happens round about us, give us strength to endure these things. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I know God has spoken. Through His Word, through His Spirit, I know that He is doing a work in your life right here, right now. And that is yours. It's free. You can leave, and it is completely yours. No strings attached. God will strengthen you. But if you would like to be assured that you're part of a link, a chain, a church that will lift you up, you can find that here. And know that God's going to bless you for every time you strengthen that connection. If God's spoken to you to any way, any form today, if He has given you strength, if He has helped you out through one thing or another, and you would like to be prayed for, no one's looking around, no one's going to judge you, no one's going to start a rumor mill. This is just for you. But if you would like someone to pray with you, I'll be that person. Thank you. I see those hands in the balcony. I see them all over here. Thank you. You may raise your hands if you need that prayer. You will find this as a place of hope. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for these people. Thank You for their courage to lift their hands. Lord, I pray that Your blessings would be upon them. Be a part of this community. Strengthen us. Lord, even in this very moment, we recognize this at this service. We have several ministries that are a part of this community. And we gather here today to thank You for the strength to endure the hardships and help each other. Lord, we love You, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Brother Robert.